Secret Origins Podcast, Episode 14. Hello and welcome to episode 14 of the Secret Origins Podcast. We have now gone unlimited. I am your host, DFG and Mike, and joining me as usual is the headphone-throwing Lupus Convoy. Hello, sir.
Hi, everybody.
How are you?
Well, now that, you know, my headphones stopped screaming at me, I'm doing well.
Yes. Sorry for the delay in the episodes, folks. Lupus has been extremely busy with school and work and dog sitting and
over the world.
Supposedly mailing robots. I don't know if that's been done yet. Hopefully by the time this episode airs, it will be mailed. Hopefully. what'd you say?
We can hope. I'm a good little Blue Lantern, I'll hope. I did find them, though.
Oh. Even though we are explicit on this show, I'm going to hold my tongue. Today we are going to be reviewing four more episodes of Justice League Season 3. Now, one thing we actually forgot to do in episode 13, when we actually started the Unlimited series or the Unlimited seasons, we forgot to talk about the brand new theme song.
I thought we talked about it.
No, I don't remember. I don't think we did, because I listened back to episode 13, because normally where we would talk about that would be obviously here in the intro.
Was it episode 12 when we were doing a review of season 2?
No, it might have been. I don't know.
It might have been something that we did off air.
Yeah, it might have been. I think so, but yeah. What do you think?
Okay, so I'll admit that I fast-forwarded through most of season 1 when it came to the opening.
Yeah.
I mean, who hasn't, if you've got it on DVR, you're like, okay, yay.
Well, you know, once you see the opening title for the first two seasons and you hear that music, like, the first two or three times, you know what it is, and you don't need to watch it all, you know, 26 other times.
This is true. And this, the new one, it's like, I can't stop. I need to watch it. So,
yeah.
I dig it.
It's, they actually said in, I believe it was the This Little Piggy commentary about the new theme song and how everybody at first hated it. All the fans apparently hated it when they changed the show. And
why?
Didn't like it and whatever else. I don't know. And Bruce Timm, you know, was telling a story on the commentary about, I don't know, people were saying that it sounds like 80s rock metal or like kind of like Asia or... somebody said, I think he said that it was Glenn Murakami said it sounds like, you know, a sports anthem or something. And he goes, you're still not turning me off to this. And I love this theme.
It's a great opening.
It's an awesome opening. Even with the good thing about Justice League, the entire show, is they have taken the prologue stories before the titles. And most of them are pretty much cliffhangers before the title sequence. And it's just awesome because some of them leave you just hanging. And then you have, well, now you have this really awesome title sequence. I like the animations on the characters a lot better instead of what they did in the first two seasons.
Yeah. It's not quite so blocky and really bad CGI.
Exactly. I'm not sure. I was trying to remember, and I should have wrote it down. I don't remember when, because I think the first five or six episodes, when they do the whole main title sequence and they show the original seven, and they show them off in characters, Shire is not there until, like, I think it's four or five or six episodes in, until she's
back. Yeah, I noticed that. She's, when you see her and she's,
like, all sad
in uniform, she looks like she's definitely repentant for everything that she's done.
Yep.
You can tell that she's heartbroken. So it's great to see that they're bringing her back, and it was like, oh my God, Shayera, yes!
Yep. But she's not back yet. She comes back in... She shows up in the end of the return, and I don't think she shows up again until... I think her official return, as far as being in an episode and seeing her full, you know, just in full garb and full active being back on the show, I believe, is Wake the Dead.
Yep.
So, yeah, that'll be in the episode that we do in the next 2 weeks. But yeah, I love this theme music. I've got it, on my phone. I don't usually use it for a ringtone, but whenever I like need to get amped up for something, this is what I listen to.
It is pretty badass.
Cause it is just, yeah, it is. And the ending is awesome. It's like, dun, 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 dun. And then it has this kind of like, oh, it's kind of like godlike thing, obviously. Cause the final shot of the title sequence is the big three. And even though Batman has no superpowers, he is still the goddamn Batman. So what else has been going on with you, sir?
Dog sitting? Okay, guys, if you haven't had a dog in a long time, don't agree to babysit four dogs for a prolonged period of time. I made that mistake. And it's taking a lot of us. To three of us to actually keep on top of everything. So yeah, it's an eye-opening experience, and it doesn't dissuade me from wanting a dog. It just makes me sure that I only want one.
I'm too lazy. Like, my mom has a dog and everything, and you know, I help my mom out the best I can and stuff. But it's like I'm just too lazy to have a dog.
Well, I want one, but it's a matter of not being able to support that dog, give it enough attention when I'm doing so much as it is.
Yeah.
I'm getting addicted to Lego minifigures, and I'm going through my Transformers and thinning the herd.
Yes, you are. Which, you know, again, UPS, or not UPS. No, do not use UPS. I will kill you if you use
USPS.
UPS. Yeah, yeah. You need to go to the post office. Let's see. Since we recorded episode 13, I got a new computer. Yay. The only problem with it is, though, I can't record DVD audio, so I'm not sure if, like, this episode will go up when it's supposed to. I'm not sure if 15 will. I mean, we are going to be recording 15. We're actually recording these on one night, and we're going to record it and get it done, but I don't know when it'll go up, because I have to get another monitor for my old computer and a set of speakers. To hook my old computer back up so I can actually record DVD audio for the in-betweens of our discussions. So, yeah, but no, I'm loving the new computer. I've only had a couple of, like, failure issues with Windows 7, not too many. Really enjoy Windows 7. It's a lot more streamlined than what XP used to, or XP was, because I've been on XP Pro for, like, the past 3.5 years. So, yeah. And I can actually have, like, you know, multiple things going on at once, because this computer has... Well, my old computer had, like, 1 gig of RAM. So, it wasn't exactly the fastest thing in the world. But this one has a 1 terabyte hard drive installed. It has 8 gigabytes of RAM, which is expandable up to 16, so it's plenty fast. It's like triple what I had before, so...
Oh, jealous.
It works. Hey, dude, it was only, I think, after tax and without... And I know you don't have this kind of money, but my mom bought it for me, so, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, my mom helped me out to get it, but I think after tax and not getting a Best Buy protection plan, which I will do eventually... I think it was like $9.55.
Oh, so it's only about an eighth of what I owe the hospital.
Okay. Yeah, and I just bought the tower. I didn't buy a whole package because I have everything else. I have the microphone, I have the keyboard, I have the monitor and all that stuff. But I need a secondary monitor and speakers for my old computer, which, yeah. Anyway, that's pretty much what's been going on with me.
It just dawned on me that. This weekend is
TFCon.
Yeah. And yeah. I was hoping to go this year because I went last year.
Yeah.
Not in the dice. So I apologize to all my Canadian brethren that are up there that I'm going to be missing out on.
Yes. Yeah, this weekend is TFCon, and it's the largest Canadian Transformers convention. I think it's the only Canadian Transformers convention.
I think so. But it's damn well worth it to go.
Yeah.
Even if you're in the U.S.
Oh, yes. I would have gone, except about when I was 16. So that's what, 10, 12, about 12, 13 years ago, my wallet at the time, which had my birth certificate and social security card in it. Don't ask me why I was 16. I was stupid. Was in there, and it went through the wash.
Ooh.
Yeah. And
did you get a replacement?
No, not yet. I have a photocopy. Well, I have the original Social Security card, but I have a photocopy of the birth certificate. So I have to call the offices of births, deaths, and marriages in Stoughton, Massachusetts to get that done. But that's the only reason why I'm not going to TFCon this year is because of, well, that and the money. Normally, the money wouldn't have been a problem, but yeah, I've been going through some financial issues lately. But no, I would love to go to that. That would be so awesome.
It is. It's a definite different experience than one at a BotCon.
Yeah.
It's a lot more down to earth, smaller. It still has a really big
dealer room,
but. It's got a more intimate setting where you don't feel like you're just a number to people.
Yeah.
You have to wait, you know, 6 or 7 hours in line to get.
Well, the differences between the two are BotCon is run by a jerk who doesn't really care about Transformers. He's more in it for the money. And TFCon is run by fans. So.
I will agree that there's a difference that way. I will say that... Well, one's official and one's not. If you want to keep it successful as a business, you need to have someone that's going to be cold-hearted about it.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. Speaking of TFCon, I just recorded and it's already released now. ToyCast, even though it's not back yet, we won't officially start releasing, you know, full-on episodes again until August 13th, but we're going to have two little special episodes in the month of July. We just released episode 61, Rodcast, where actually I don't know if you work with him on TFW or not, but Drew Iden, Proto Man, and I.
He's on the other team.
Oh, okay. See, I don't know what, I mean, I know you're on the even team, aren't you?
Yep.
I don't know who else is on the even team, so I wasn't sure if he was on your team or not. But yeah,
it's like the three degrees of TFW.
Exactly.
He's on the odds. I'm on the even, and Defuzz is the link between us because he covers both of us when we can't be there.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, he has been covering me a lot because of work and school.
Yeah. So yeah, I think it's time to get into some episodes today.
Don't you ever wish you were down there?
I'm down there all I need to be.
Yes, but it's just a job to you. I'm talking about going down there and having some fun. Maybe with someone special. No. No dating for the Batman. It might cut into your brooding time.
1. Dating within the team always leads to disaster. 2. You're a princess from a society of immortal warriors. I'm a rich kid with issues. Lots of issues. And 3. If my enemies knew I had someone special, they wouldn't rest until they'd gotten to me through her.
Next.
First up, we have This Little Piggy. Such a good episode.
Yes, it is.
Wonder Woman accompanies Batman on a stakeout in Gotham City, based on a tip that Intergang plans to steal the Rosetta Stone. I've got something to say about that, but I'll wait. As they wait, all her attempts to flirt are rebuffed by Batman, emphasizing the differences between them. When the robbery occurs, they find the thief is actually the sorceress Circe, mortal enemy of Hippolyta, or is that immortal enemy? Wonder Woman's mother. Although banished to Tartarus by Hippolyta, she has now been paroled, and her first act of freedom is to transform Hippolyta's daughter, Wonder Woman, to Batman's shock, into a pig. Seeking help, Batman approaches the stage musician and Justice League member, Zatanna, after her show, who happens to have real magical powers and is aware of Circe's release. Although she attempts to return Wonder Woman to normal, her powers can't overcome those of the goddess. Batman requests to keep the situation between the two of them, and Zatanna promises to help both him and Wonder Woman, although she intuits that only Circe can reverse the change. Zatanna leads them into a shopkeeper specializing in magical artifacts to purchase a missing ingredient to her locator spell. He reminds her that every element of magic requires a price that is not necessarily monetary, and forces her to reluctantly hand over a valuable mystic item of her own. Despite the potency of the spell, Circe proves too powerful to be found so easily, and because of the spell's flashiness, the transformed Wonder Woman escapes. Batman and Zatanna give chase, but not before she takes back her mystic item. Unable to find Wonder Woman, Batman calls upon the aid of Bawana Beast and several other League members to locate her. Bawana Beast finds her, but she evades him, and then she runs into a pork processing factory amidst the throng of hundreds of pigs. Batman and Zatanna request the aid of Themis, who brings the Medusa, Circe's former cellmate, who reveals Circe's burning desire to perform at the amphitheater at Mykonos. Meanwhile, the transformed Wonder Woman attempts to escape from being processed, frustrating a butcher's efforts to capture her. Zatanna teleports them to the amphitheater, and they confront Circe, who attacks them by transforming her stage cohorts into wild animals. At the same time, the transformed Wonder Woman is caught, tied up, and put onto a conveyor belt towards a processing machine. After fending off the last of the onslaught of animals, Batman suggests making an exchange for returning Wonder Woman to normal. Circe, intrigued, agrees to transform Diana back, but only in exchange for something incredibly precious from Batman, something he's concealed and, when gone, can never be regained. He pays the price by revealing a suave singing voice in a performance of Am I Blue? So touching that it moves both Zatanna and Circe to tears. Circe returns Wonder Woman to normal, just in time for her to escape the factory. After his performance, which receives a riotous applause from the amphitheater's crowd, Batman thanks Zatanna for her help. After work in the League Watchtower, Batman and Wonder Woman discuss the night's events. She claims not to remember that much of what happened and asks if she missed anything. He replies nothing much, but she teases him by humming Am I Blue before walking away. Your thoughts, good sir.
This is... When I first saw this episode, like, when I first caught it on, like, Boomerang, this is from back when I was... didn't even really know what Justice League was, because I came into Justice League late, as far as watching it on television. And, obviously, because it's a continuation in the DC Animated Universe, I watched it and grew to love it. But, wow... This episode is so awesome.
This is basically what... This is the epitome of how awesome JLU is.
Yeah.
If I had to sit down with somebody and make them watch an episode, it would be this one.
Yeah.
Because you've got the great overarching story arc, you've got the interplay between the two characters, and you've got the humor in it. And it's not just the, you know, two of the main seven. You've got, you know, the side characters that come in as well.
Oh, they got really extremely...
Red Tornado.
Yeah, Red Tornado was one of my notes. But they got really, really...
obscure?
Obscure with the... with the characters that they brought in for this episode. The rooftop bantering is just awesome. It's just...
it was great.
Yeah. Zatanna. Oh, Homer Simpson drool.
Oh, what he was saying, like, rebuffing her. And the fact that she's still going to hold her own in a conversation with him. Like, first off, you're the princess of a lost country. I'm a rich kid with problems. Lots of issues.
Yeah.
And then she's like, he says, like, the one thing that every superhero thinks about, you know, if I'm in a relationship, my villains find out about this. You know, they will use her against me, and, you know, I don't want to... cause that sort of pain to somebody. And she proceeds to crush a gargoyle with her bare hands.
Yeah.
Next point.
Yeah. That was so awesome. Wonder Pig. Dun dun dun.
Did they actually say that in the series, like Wonder Pig?
No, they don't, but...
everyone thinks that.
Well, actually, they don't actually say it in the cartoon. However, there is a Batman JLU figure that comes with Wonder Pig. I actually got it for Michael Sims over at Earth 2. Huh?
That's awesome.
Well, I got it for his birthday a couple... was it last year? I think it was 2 years ago. He mentioned something he would want a Wonder Pig toy. And I was like, okay. And he said somebody saw it at Target. So I went on, I think I went on Amazon or I don't know, it might have been eBay. And I was looking for it. And there is a JLU Batman figure that comes with an accessory of a little Wonder Pig.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I like Moana Beast's line. I'll have her ready for pickup in dot, 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 dot. And then at the end of it, I added, oh, shit.
This is such an awesome, awesome episode.
Yeah, the story is very fluid. The character development is spot on for what they were trying to, quote unquote, allude to with Batman and Wonder Woman.
There was no alluding.
Well,
you and your pointy-eared boyfriend.
Yeah, but they never
come out and say it. But it was.
Well, the thing is, though, Bruce Timm has said that they, you know, they hinted at it. Will they? Won't they? Kind of. Thing. It's not like John and Shiera where they were a couple.
And will be a couple, as we'll see later on. I hereby say that this is the JLU musical episode.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
They did this before Buffy, probably. Or at least before Dr. Horrible. So yes, this
let's see here. Don't look at her directly. Ooh, oh my god, Medusa.
She got ugly.
I was surprised at the hair, though. The hair is cool because the snakes are constantly moving.
Yeah.
Well, that was pretty awesome. They're
kind of limp. I mean,
yeah, those are really nice. Yeah, that was that was my next night note. Even though I hate snakes, they look cool animated as her hair. Freedom in 4010, ring-a-ding.
Ring-a-ding-ding. I will say that I'm a geek enough that I've seen this episode so many times that line has been stuck in my head. And sometimes at work when something goes wrong, someone will be saying something to me. I'll be like, yay, freedom in 4010, ring-a-ding-ding. And nobody gets it, but it's just one of those lines that you can't help but go, yes, that's awesome.
Yes. Something that when gone, you can never get it back. Something so shattering, you know, just by the scowling of Bats' eyes that this is going to be so good. And then, of course, Batman sings.
And it's not what you think. It's, they allude to, oh, they're going to take away his secret identity. Nope.
Oh, no. I knew they would never do that, though.
But if you're new to it, you don't know. Like, if it's your first time.
Yeah, I guess you could argue that fact, but I knew that it was, I mean, even before, because like I said, when I first got the big, yeah, oops, stupid, what the hell was that? I don't know. When I got this, when I got the tin, I made every effort to not watch it, to not watch the series all the way through. So
it's difficult.
Well, yeah, it's difficult because it's a 10. It's awesome, but you know, I said, okay, well, I'm not going to do a marathon watching the cartoon. I want to wait until the podcast. So I haven't actually seen this episode for maybe a year or so before I watched it for this, and you know, that's what really shocked me about the whole. Even though I knew obviously it wasn't his secret identity that they were going to make him give up. But yeah, that's just awesome. And Bruce,
not everybody knows it already.
Yeah. Well, Bruce Timmons said in the commentary that, Kevin Conroy is a classically trained singer. He has some great sing. I mean, he does have an awesome singing voice, but I don't know. He has some sort of training as a singer somewhere. I don't remember what Bruce Timm actually said, but he brought that up in the commentary. And wow, that was a fast episode. That was my last line.
Yeah, it's just so damn good.
Yeah, it hits every punch that it needs to be that needed to be thrown for a 30-minute episode. And it doesn't just drag out.
Did you God, so did you catch B'Wanna Beast?
Yeah. I don't know who the hell – I didn't know who the hell he was, but I caught him.
Yeah, I've known him from the new Batman series that's playing now on Cartoon Network.
Oh, you mean Brave and the Bold?
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan of it, but I mean, it's fairly decent. I mean, for some of the very random cameo characters that they throw in. But I didn't know that he was an actual DCU character.
Yeah, well, you would have known that if you had listened to the commentary on this episode, see?
I will note, though, however, after I was watching, I was thinking about the name. And I'm not a huge fan of the character, so the snarky side of me came out. And I'm like, if you reverse the name, Beast Wannabe, it kind of makes sense. I was very surprised to see that they weren't that they didn't use Animal Man though. Who would have seemed a more logical character, at least more normal character anyway.
Well, I'm not sure. I'm sure they just needed something that, you know. And again, I'll go back to the commentary for what Bruce Timm said. They basically just needed, you know, one of those very obscure leaguers that.
Yeah, but Animal Man's pretty obscure too.
Okay, well, see, I don't know, but I mean, well, see, I think they wanted to use B'Wanna Beast's power. His power is he can actually turn into the animals, can he?
He can talk to them.
Oh, he can talk. No, he can talk to them. There was some sort of special power he had that they didn't actually that we didn't actually see in this episode. Wasn't there?
Mind controlling and merging any two animals together.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what the DCAU wiki is saying. Go figure.
Yeah.
I'm going to take this fish and this bird and wham.
Yeah.
Apparently, B'Wanna is Swahili for master, so he's a beast.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
So, the synopsis that we actually read. For those that don't know Greek mythology, Themis is the name for the deity or embodiment of justice. which actually was saying, you know, for what you and your league have done in my name is a great thing. So that was kind of a nice little nod as well. Mm-hmm. I love these little Greek throwbacks. Okay, so some background information on some of the characters. For those that don't know about Medusa, her and her family, the Gorgons, were they were touted as being more beautiful than the gods themselves. So the Greek gods being very possessive of their titles, let's put it that way. Aphrodite herself got pissed off and turned them all into very, very hideous monsters. And with Medusa, if you looked at her directly, you turned to stone. I'm sure everybody knows this, but how horrible would it be if you're in Tartarus, the Greek underworld, and you're watching some hero cut off your head and then run around doing adventures, turning people to stone by pulling your head out of a basket? Like, really? that's just adding insult to injury. We'd like to cover Zatanna, which was awesome. If you read Blackest Night, JLU, there's a fight between her and her father, who's undead, and they're casting magic back and forth, and it's all backwards, so it's kind of a mind boggle to read and try to get it right. And after all this, I guarantee that Diana is going to go vegan. She's never going to touch another pork product. Yeah, so what a great date, huh? You're going out to go see the Rosetta Stone in a small little dinky museum in Gotham.
Now wait a second. They weren't technically on a date. They were on stakeout.
Okay, they're superheroes. That's a date.
Dude, they were on stakeout because Inner Gang was supposedly supposed to steal the Rosetta Stone.
This is Batman. That's a date for him.
Oh, jeez.
Come on. Come on.
So wait a second. You remember that picture I put it on TwitPic with Superman and the Batmobile on stakeout?
That was
so you're telling me that Batman and Superman are now dating?
They have a bromance.
Oh, damn.
Yes. Every, like, slash fic girl is going crazy right now. Oh, who am I kidding? They probably already have. But anyway. Yeah, so I do hold up a little bit of issue with the fact that it's the Rosetta Stone at Gotham. Because people that don't know, there's a lot of controversy over who really gets to own the Rosetta Stone, if it's Britain or France, and it doesn't leave Britain usually. But if people are really interested in the Rosetta Stone, I'd suggest looking up HowStuffWorks.com and their podcast. They have one on the Rosetta Stone, and it's really awesome. And I actually heard it prior to watching this episode, so I was like, what? Huh? So, yeah.
Now let me ask you, does the Rosetta Stone, like a lot of like a lot of nationally or internationally famous pieces of art or history or whatever, they go on tour, you know, so they're not always in the – like some – like –
King Tut?
Like say there's a certain collection of Picassos at – the Smithsonian or I don't know, but what I'm asking you is, could it have been the reason why it was in Gotham was because it was maybe on loan to a Gotham museum?
I'm not sure, but I don't really think that is one of those that would go out because it's so damn heavy. It's so damn big. Okay. And there's a lot of contention over who actually owns it because there's a fight going between Britain and France. And Egypt's kind of going, hey, that technically is ours. It used to be, you know, it came from our country. Could we have it back? So I'm not sure it's one of those things that would actually go out.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I'm looking at it for Google right now, and I'm not really seeing it being loaned that often. But there's a lot of really great info out there on it if you're interested, so...
Yeah, and I'm sorry, that's not, they are not on a date, dude.
I was being sarcastic. You sound like a kid with issues. Honestly, like, you can tell that there's something going on, especially when Batman Zatanna's talking and he's like, she's just a really good friend. No, Bruce, I'm a really good friend.
Yeah,
there's something else between you two.
Do we have anything else on this one?
Not really.
I'm not sure if we covered everything, but I don't know.
Oh, we have been... the items that she's using for the spell.
A
Muppet, a mummy hand, salt, an ankh, and a chimera scale, and candles. I'm looking at that from an actual like study point of view. I'm going, what exactly is the mummy hand there for? Like, okay, I can get the poppet, a locator spell, you know, try to latch onto her, maybe. But what is up with the chimera scale and the mummy hand?
The mummy hand probably wants to cop a feel, so.
I guess. I'm not exactly sure what it's supposed to represent, though. And although we did have that nice little run-through that we read off the DCAU wiki, I will say, however, that it wasn't an artifact. It was a silver Ming Dynasty coin. So
yeah.
It was monetary value, but she did end up getting it back in the end.
Yeah, by saying refund backwards.
Yep.
Oh boy, this is they didn't actually intend on having three comedy episodes in the first season of JLU or the third season of Justice League altogether, but it kind of happened that way, and they didn't really want to have them back to back to back, but it kind of happened that way. You have this one, kids stuff, and what's the other one? Crap. Maybe, I don't know, maybe Greatest Story Never Told. I don't know.
There's some comedic points to that one.
Yeah, but I mean, there's three comedy episodes in this first season of Justice League Unlimited. And obviously the, This Little Piggy and Kid Stuff are two of them. I don't remember what the third one is. I'll have to go back and watch the commentary to hear what Bruce Timm said. So I guess we are going to move on.
We have another guest, Inza. Would you prepare a place for him?
Of course. Welcome. Are you all right?
Fine. Although there was a moment when I actually thought John Stewart was going to attack me.
Oh, I don't know about that. His bark's a lot worse than his bite.
Next up, we have The Return. John Stewart is in communication with the Guardians of the Universe on Oa, who inform him that his recent request for a transfer away from Earth has been denied. Then a planetary defense system alerts them that something is approaching Oa at an incredible speed. Kyle Rayner and the other resident Green Lanterns fly into space to establish a shield, but the object breaks through instantly, revealing itself to be a Mazo. Before the Guardians can react, the android hurtles into the planet, there is a sudden flash of light, and just like that, Oa is gone. Amazo's trajectory shows that he is heading for Earth. The League mobilizes its full strength, determined to stop the android from reaching the planet's surface. In short order, they realize what Amazo is coming back for. Revenge on Lex Luthor. In his estate, Luthor is giving a television interview explaining his reformation since he was diagnosed with kryptonite poisoning. He has just finished expressing his hope that the Justice League can be friends when Supergirl and Steel fly down and kidnap him. As soon as he is told Amazo is coming, he rejects their ideas for protection and insists on going to a safe house of his own design, located in a barbershop. In short order, he gives them the slip, riding an underground tube with kryptonite-lined walls down to a laboratory, where a huge cannon sits waiting. However, the League is one step ahead of him. The Atom is riding on his clothing, having slipped on earlier. Since Atom is an expert in nanotechnology, and has Professor Ivo's original blueprints for the android, he and Luthor agree to modify the cannon specifically to destroy the android. The League has set up three defensive lines to halt the android. The first in space, consisting of Superman, Green Lantern, Captain Atom, Orion, Dr. Light, Stripe, and Starman, and the League's entire fleet of javelins. As the android approaches, he communicates with them telepathically, warning them not to stand in his way. You all right over there?
Yep.
Okay. I heard nothing but static there for a second.
Shock.
Yes. When he refuses to turn back, the assembly unleashes a massive energy barrage, but Amazo shrugs it off, smashes through the entire line in moments, and continues toward Earth. In the laboratory, Luther and Adam are working out to complete the cannon before Amazo arrives. In the upper atmosphere, Amazo locates Luther with his telepathy and smashes through the second defensive line. Supergirl, Fire, Red Tornado, and Rocket Red. Oh, poor Red Tornado.
He's a robot.
It's never explained how they do that, but yes, they do rebuild him. Seeing the second line collapse, John turns to a visitor on the bridge, Dr. Fate, who says he has an alternative proposal. Amazo touches down outside the barbershop and just as easily disables the third and last defense line, Wonder Woman, Flash, Steel, and Ice. This is Flash's first appearance since the new series started, and Flash does not speak except for one little alive groan, something small to let us know that he's still alive and not dead. Because Amazo could easily kill all four of these people, Wonder Woman, Steel, and Ice. So the cannon is completed just before Amazo enters the laboratory, which he does just in time to receive a blast from it. Mildly impressed, the android indicates that the cannon might have worked a month earlier when he was still all nanotech. In space, Green Lantern revives to see Kyle and the other surviving Lanterns approaching. Kyle says their only option is to hit Amazo with a concentrated blast from all of their rings at once, enough energy to destroy half the planet along with the android. In the laboratory, as a last resort, Adam shrinks both himself and Luther down to a subatomic size to hide from Amazo. Again, this proves futile. Amazo shrinks himself down as well, enough to grasp them in the palm of his hand. Luther is prepared to meet his fate, but Amazo hesitates. What he has come back for is not so much revenge as to satisfy his curiosity. Amazo has read his mind and can't understand it. For all his wealth and power, Luthor is still consumed with ambition to be and have more. I'm having problems here. Amazo, likewise, was made to evolve and absorb knowledge, but for all that he has learned, he still feels empty with no idea of what his purpose is in life. As John and the other Lanterns fly into the laboratory, Fate appears and asks them to hold off. John orders him out of the way, and after a moment, Fate complies. Luther says that in a way, he is empty of purpose. For all his accomplishments, he is still mortal, and everything he's done will be gone and forgotten after a few generations. Amazo, on the other hand, is immortal and nearly all-powerful. He will be able to see time through until its very end. Amazo is not satisfied with merely being a witness to events. Ultimately, Luther says he cannot solve the mystery for Amazo. Every being creates its own purpose in life. Amazo then relents and brings both of them to full size. Just then, the Lanterns arrive, aim their rings. Fate teleports beside Amazo, telling them that the threat is over. The Lanterns refuse to accept this until Amazo surprises them by telling them that Oh was not destroyed. He simply moved it to another dimension. It was in my way. Without leaving the laboratory, he moves it back. Fate offers Amazo sanctuary in his tower to help him in his search for meaning. Amazo accepts when they arrive back, and it is revealed that another person has taken sanctuary at Fate's home, Shiera Hall. Dun dun dun!
Surprise!
Yeah. Thoughts?
Oh wow! It beginning is really really awesome. Just the Guardians being the Guardians, you know, cold, emotionless bastards, and you know it's coming through Ganthet, who you don't really expect. And then Ganthet's like, you know, you really have to work through this. Yeah. It's not just because we're being assholes, and you know we can't really change everything for you, but you really need to work through it because you're better than this.
But I mean, John does have a point. Why couldn't they have just allowed Kyle and Stuart to switch places?
Because then we'd have another Green Lantern to get used to.
Kyle's cool. He's better than that other jack off.
Hey. You know, it's not nice to talk about Hal that way.
No. I'm not talking about Hal. I'm talking about the real asshole, the one that uses his powers to get what he wants.
And that's a bad thing? Anyway.
It's abuse and power, damn it.
You're just jealous.
Yeah.
To see some of the new Green Lanterns that they animated in, Ariza, that's pretty cool. I liked Ariza being in there. And then Selak and Kilowog, they have armor. I wasn't expecting that.
Apparently Kilowog has a brand new face mold too. In this episode, because
I just said face mold.
What? Blame the Transformers, damn it. It's a mold. You know what I mean? Design, whatever.
Yeah, we get more Lex.
Yeah.
It's nice considering we're not getting any bat villains. But the humor of Luther in a barbershop.
Yeah.
And okay, what is with all the superheroes, supervillains saying let go when they're picked up in the middle of the air? Like, we know Copperhead learned the hard way from Hawkgirl.
Yeah.
Season. I'm 60 feet up. Really? You want me to let you go? Ray Palmer, which brings out like the Black Snake geek in me, because he was an Indigo Lantern for a while. Plus, he's from Boston.
Yep.
Which
that'll come up next episode, actually. Next podcast episode.
Yep. what else? Dr. Light showing up. Someone saying, Ray saying to Lex saying, let's hope you're more convincing to Amazo than you are to me about turning over a new leaf.
Yeah.
Really? And then, like, the whole point where Supergirl is in the second line of defense, and she's going to stop Amazo, and I'm like, yeah, she's going to do so much better than Clark. Really? The second stringer.
Well, all right, to be honest, now, I know Clark, Kal-El, Superman, whatever the hell you want to call him, he, you know, he is all-powerful because of the Earth's yellow sun, and while she, at least in this series at first, doesn't have all, you know, his strength and his experience and everything else, he was just floating there in space shooting his heat vision. She was actually moving, so it's kind of like, you know, immovable, you know, what is that old question? What happens when force meets an immovable object or something? She has the force, and obviously Amazo is the immovable object. So, I don't know. What else you got?
Yeah, the reporters looked really convinced when they were talking to Lex. Like, yeah, sure, uh-huh. what else? Yeah, just showing that Luther really is an Orange Lantern, all about avarice and greed, and it just fits him. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the inevitable android looking for a purpose story.
Yeah,
that's what it kind of boiled down to. I was like, oh, that kind of sucks. Yeah, I mean, it was overall, it was pretty decent. It's interesting to see that Dr. Fate is slowly building this group of misfits.
Yeah.
Like, it's the not quite good enough league. It's the Just Us League. to rip that from earlier.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's what I got.
My first note was, hey, Kyle.
With no crab mask.
Well, yeah.
It's like, go away, Kyle. Nobody likes you. You've got a girlfriend in a refrigerator to go take care of.
It's our business to know. Dun, dun, dun.
Well, they're the guardians. They have to have their life besides being complete perverts.
And then Transformers can so be inserted into the whole Oa thing because, oh shit, what are we going to do now? Oh, it's gone.
That was random, but yeah.
Oh, come on. You know, when you first saw that and you thought you saw the planet explode, you're like, oh shit.
No, I was like, what the hell? They can't blow up Oa. Come on, one little android can't do that.
Gold, Amazo. That was awesome. Just because, I mean, we saw him turn from silver to gold in Tabula Rasa, but, you know.
Now it's like, okay.
It is just cool. Wherever you're taking me won't be safe enough.
Really, you're going to take the superheroes right there?
Now, and you know that Luthor had lackeys putting in that kryptonite in the tunnel.
Oh, yeah. Somebody else to deal with the kryptonite poisoning.
Yes, and we have two classic TV show gags. We have a Mork and Mindy gag with the egg that Luthor comes out of.
Oh, okay, right.
And then the Get Smart gag.
Those shows that I haven't seen in a long time.
Oh, the Get Smart gag is the computer panels opening and closing.
Okay, I'll take your word for it.
And then the Atom and the Atom effects, that was awesome. Mm. Ooh, Subatomic Universe. ... No denying Amazo, though.
See, I didn't think he shrank small enough.
Yeah. Should have quit while you were ahead. And lastly, I've got, his bark is a lot worse than his bite. Ooh, Hot Girl's back. Yay.
Yay. Shayura's back.
Yay. Oh, yeah. This was an awesome episode on so many levels. First of all, you have the Kyle and the Lanterns and the Guardians that are on Oa. Secondly, you have all of these other heroes that show up in the different lines of defense. You have Rocket Red. And I don't even know that much about Rocket Red, but, you know, it was pretty. It was kind of cool to see that kind of a hero there. Red Tornado shows up. Fire and Ice, and Fire will show up later.
We like Fire and Ice, but that's also because they're old JLI members.
Yeah, but Fire will show up later in season 5. Because a certain original member develops a crush on her.
Wait, is it Wonder Woman?
No. No.
So it's a Flash, because he'll hit on anything.
Yeah, it's Flash. But yeah, this was just an awesome. And in the end, you just don't. I mean. When I first saw the title of this episode, I'm thinking, oh, okay, well, obviously they're bringing Shayera back. And
not quite,
but
close.
Yeah, but it like, and it teases it. Like it's like, oh, that's where, uh-huh. And again, I know you didn't listen to the commentary on Starcross Part 3, but I don't know if Bruce Timm did this on purpose, but he tells us, in the commentary, where she's going, he says, oh, she's hanging out at Dr. Fate's house. Look where we find her, Dr. Fate's house. So I don't know if they planned it. I don't think they planned it that way. It just maybe it was like after they recorded the commentary, it was like, oh, well, this is where we can, you know, whatever. I don't know.
Pass her in.
Yeah. Do we have anything else on this one? You have anything else?
Got nothing.
Have any issues about it, or are there anything that's like out of line for Lanterns not to do, or?
Honestly, Oa didn't look like the current rendition of Oa.
Well, and again, you got to realize this was done 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah, they were probably going off of old Oa, but it was just kind of like, oh, that doesn't look like it. Okay. Yeah, it was nice to see. Okay, something that is kind of bothering me in the whole JLU that we've got going on. Fire and Ice aren't teamed up, but they are partners in the comics. Like, they always fight together because, you know, Fire and Ice.
Yeah.
But yeah, in the entire series, they're not teamed up together in the same team.
Well, yeah, but they're always called out at the same time.
True. But they're not portrayed as...
as teammates, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. So, I guess we will be moving on.
I blew it!
It's not too late.
I can't do it.
Yes, you can. You have to.
Tracy, I'm a fraud. Do you know why I came back to the past? It wasn't a fight for justice. It was to get rich, be famous. I was a failure in the future, just like I am here. I'm not a superhero.
Everything is about to be destroyed forever. And where are the other superheroes? Not here. You are. You're the only one who can do this. So do it.
You okay?
Yeah. You?
I am now. That was pretty super heroic of you.
Hey, all in a Judgment Day's work. Well, see ya.
Sir, according to my thermal sensor readings of Dr. Simmons, you just missed a prime opportunity to, well, I believe the phrase is, kiss the girl.
Kissing girls is for heroes, Skeets. Nice work, elongated man.
That was just about the slickest move I've ever seen.
Hey, it was a team effort. I'm just glad I stretched in the right place at the right time. Back to normal, huh?
Mordru's magic was nullified when he lost consciousness. I thought I told you to stay on crowd control.
I know, but there was this... I mean, you wouldn't believe it. It almost... Oh, forget it.
You and I are going to have a little chat later.
Up next is the greatest story never told. Booster Gold has a problem.
Just one?
He's a hero. You stole my line! Give me my thunder! Anyway, he's a hero from the future who can't seem to catch a break. Nobody seems to view him as a top-tier hero, and sometimes they don't notice him at all. Between getting snubbed by Jean for high-profile league missions and being mistaken for a Green Lantern by autograph seekers, Booster is sick of being treated as a second stringer. But he is a second stringer.
Mm-hmm.
After practically begging Jean for more work, he is dispatched with the Justice League reserves to aid in the fight for aid the first team during a battle with the powerful sorcerer Mordru. Sorry, sounds like Mordred.
Yeah,
he looks like Mordred too.
Yeah.
However, upon arrival, Booster and Ralph Dibny, the elongated man, are relegated to crowd control duties by Batman. Booster and Ralph jaw for a bit about their perceived lower status just as Wonder Woman arrives asking for help, but only from Elongated Man. Booster and his robot sidekick cheerleader Skeets attempt to make the most of their position. However, the closest thing to action Booster finds is the rescue of a child's ant farm from a burning building. His reward for this is once again being called Green Lantern. However, there's an accident at the local Star Labs facility. A young and attractive physicist informs Booster that one of her colleagues was caught in a power surge while working on an experiment. As a result, the man is now a miniature black hole. Booster is excited by a chance to save the world and maybe even get the girl, so he and Skeets agree to try to stop the black hole with the special disruptor collar. But Booster becomes discouraged as his plans go awry for various reasons. Booster is almost flattened by a car hurled from the scene of the main battle miles away. A wild cast of Mordru's magic accidentally brings a 10-story building in Booster's vicinity to life with an appetite. Skeet is sucked into the mini black hole. In the middle of this, Booster somehow finds time to deliver a baby to a woman stuck in an abandoned ambulance. Thank you, Green Lantern! A dejected Booster admits to the young woman that in the future he is actually a failure, and that he essentially ran away from the 21st century in a desperate attempt to be somebody. However, with an encouragement of his damsel in distress, Booster is able to attach the disruptor collar and save the world. All of the consumed matter, Skeets included, is ejected back into the world. Naturally, no one outside the parties involved know what happened. A few miles downtown, the Justice League has just wrapped up the Mordru situation, primarily thanks to Elongated Man. Batman lectures Booster for leaving his crowd control post, but the would-be Justice League superstar can't put an explanation to his words and instead simply sulks. However, Booster Gold is greatly cheered by the reappearance of a certain former damsel in distress who wants to take her out on a date.
Take her hero Your out thoughts, on sir? A date.
I hate this episode.
I didn't think it was that bad.
I hate this episode. One of the reasons why I hate this episode is, number one, Booster Gold is an arrogant jackass.
Well, yes.
And this is my first ever introduction to Booster Gold. I've never read any of the comics, but just the way he was portrayed in this, it's just an ultimate asshole. The one good thing about the Booster Gold story here is Skeets, because Skeets is voiced by Billy West. My next note was Star Trek reference. Energize, doofus.
Yeah.
crowd control. You better do what the goddamn Batman says, boy. Don't just stand there, chum. God.
Don't worry, that'll be
Jeremy Piven is elongated man. Very awesome.
Oh, fuck yes.
Yes, very.
I'll hail the Piven.
Yes, very awesome. Wow, big 3-in-1. That was a horrible, horrible image.
Get back to crowd control. What? I'm sorry.
because it was a combination of Batman and Superman with Wonder Woman's voice.
Yeah.
Now I hope no one really takes this is a pun. I really shouldn't explain this joke, but I have to because I don't want people to think I'm being politically incorrect or racial here. Black Holy Man, and Black Holy is Holey, as in he has a black hole in his chest. Oh God, childbirth! Yikes.
I feel bad for him.
I feel bad for her.
Skeet's comment about having to boil water.
Yeah.
First, we need to boil water, sir, and then some shoots that we no longer need.
Yes. And my final note was: this is such a meh. This isn't as bad as the episode that shall not be named. This is probably on the same level as Eclipsed. It's just horrible.
I like that.
I don't know. What do you got for this one?
Okay, so Booster Gold is always a favorite of mine from JLA or JLI. Huh. And the whole three-way thing that he used to do with the original or secondary Blue Beetle, and Guy Gardner, who's the ultimate Green Lantern.
Not.
Yeah, but it was quite you. Also, it's nice to see Elongated Man, who, if anyone's read The Identity Crisis, had a lot to do with him. And it was nice to see him actually in action. And then his comments about, you know, not only am I just like Plastic Man, but, you know, I'm a detective too. It's like Plastic Man and Batman combined. I spent 3 days stalking somebody. I transformed into a vase for 3 days. And then when he gets called away, Skeets is like, well, maybe they needed a vase.
Yeah.
Yeah, poor Skeets. He gets like no respect. He does like all that crap for Booster, and he gets no respect.
Mm-hmm.
It was an interesting take on the whole Trinity thing. Because you've got Batman, Superman, and Wonder Woman together.
Well, I'm looking at the wiki here for this episode, and it says at one point Booster Gold talks with a Superman Batman hybrid with Wonder Woman's voice. This form resembles composite Superman.
Oh, what else? What else do we have? So just when they're about to kiss, here comes Skeets. He's in the subway, sir. He's in the subway. He's in the subway, sir. That was not the time. and when Skeet gets spit back out, the oh my God, it was full of stars.
Yeah.
That was awesome. Jean being snippy, I can understand he's a little upset and frustrated and at the moment, but it seemed a little bit of out of character for me for Jean not to take that moment to try to probe his mind and just find out what the whole problem is like that, you know, which would have solved a lot of problems. And why there were so many times when he should have been sucked into a black hole. Mm-hmm. Like, maybe he's flying backwards, I guess. I don't know. But like, oh, it's sucking up a train and there goes the train right past me, but I'm still standing still. Yay for selective physics.
Yeah.
And did the doctor like accidentally eat the paramedics?
I think
like the paramedics are ready to deliver the baby. They're running outside. And then,
I think it was the black hole that ate them.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I got.
I'm just looking here on the wiki and wow, I did not know. And I didn't, cause the problem I have with JLU, and I think you mentioned this last episode, you don't like the ending credits anymore because of the teaser scenes. Well, because of the teaser scenes. And the only reason why I don't like it anymore is because I can't see the damn voice cast very clearly. So it's like, wow. But I'm looking on here and holy crap, Lori Loughlin voiced Tracy Simmons, the doctor, the damsel in distress chick. And yes. And we all know Lori Loughlin played Carolyn Lance, a former Black Canary, and the mother of one of the main heroes in the short-lived show Birds of Prey. She was also Rebecca Donaldson. Oh, what the hell is Uncle Jesse's last name? Damn it. Oh, God. Damn it. What the hell is Uncle Jesse's last name on Full House? I don't remember. She played his wife on Full House.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah. But yeah, this episode is just ugh.
I didn't think it was bad. I mean, it was a nice little take to see what some of the other heroes are stuck doing.
I would have liked if they would have gone with the original idea though, and just said to hell with you, Booster Gold, because the original episode was originally going to focus on superhero Firestorm, but it was changed to Booster Gold, which I think it's stupid, because I would have loved to have seen Firestorm in this series.
Well, the question is, which Firestorm would it be?
Hopefully.
Because at that time, isn't it Gen and the newer Firestorm?
I don't know. Whenever I think of Firestorm, I think of the one from Super Friends, so...
Okay, so that's the old school.
I don't know if that's the one they were going to use. And there is a link here on the wiki. But it just goes to his fictional character thing to the actual Wikipedia page. It doesn't actually say which episode he was going to be used in. But yeah, this is one of those episodes where I can watch it once and I will never watch it again.
I didn't think it was that bad. I've watched it several times, and it's kind of nice. You know, the one character that no one's going to believe, and he's actually doing all this stuff.
Yeah, I just wish it was a less... And I mean, he kind of, you know, he does have character development. I'll give him that. He does kind of, you know, wave off the whole, oh my God, I need fame thing.
Yeah,
but,
at least for a little while.
You know, it just... When I think of epic Justice League episodes, this does not fit into an epic Justice League episode.
It's a nice little... Okay, it was nice for me to see something on the side.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's nice to see... You know, I will agree that it's nice to see side characters. It is nice to not always be focused on Batman, Superman, and Wonder Woman. Or, you know, GL or Jean, which Jean wouldn't even be focused on anymore because he's the desk sergeant or watch sergeant or whatever the hell he is up in the watchtower there. But, you know, I do agree. It is nice to see the other. And that was the whole point of Justice League Unlimited, was to bring in all these heroes and have them go off on adventures, not just the original seven. So I do agree. I just wish it was somebody else other than fucking Booster Gold. Hell, I would have even preferred fucking Guy Gardner than fucking Booster Gold.
Oh. Anyway.
Mine are bigger than yours.
Stand down. He's free to go with you for however long he's got.
Who are you people?
That's a national security matter. And if I were you, I wouldn't probe the situation too closely, rich boy. Welcome to the Justice League.
And finally today, we have Ultimatum. A Justice League team intervenes on an offshore oil rig when sentient magma creatures arise from the sea and attack the workers. Aquaman accompanying them has warned that such would be the result of drilling too deep. However, the League are joined by another team of superheroes, the Ultimen. In short order, the day is saved, and the spokesman, Windragon, gives a short speech. Aquaman is openly disgusted, and even Superman is a little fazed by the Ultimate's goody-goody attitude. The Ultimen defer to the Justice League in many ways, under the auspices of their sponsor, Maxwell Lord. They have a much higher public profile, and a much more commercial one, than the League. And for all their professed admiration of the League and commitment to justice, they seem to have little interest in joining forces with them. However, Wonder Woman takes a liking to one of them, Longshadow, who frankly says his greatest wish is to join the League. But the others are holding back. Windragon says that they're not ready for that privilege yet. Things start to go awry when Windragon, in the middle of stopping a heist, develops a new and alarming power, beyond merely creating tornadoes. Lord encourages the team to take a break for a while, but eavesdropping on him and a mysterious woman, they learn that not everything is as it seems. Following Lord, they sneak into a secret laboratory and find clones of themselves in suspended animation. They're all horrified to learn the truth. They are artificial beings, cloned to serve as weapons for the U.S. government. Their memories of childhood are falsely implanted, and those persons whom they thought were their family and friends were actors used to maintain the illusion. Moreover, they have heard Professor Hamilton telling the woman that the genetic structures are becoming unstable, and they all have less than a year to live. Windragon's mind breaks, and he goes on a violent rampage. Juice, Shifter, and Damphord join him, but Longshadow tries to stop them. The League is forced to intervene, and the Ultimen are subdued. As the offending Ultimen are being taken away by the authorities, the mysterious woman and Lord arrive, along with a squad of soldiers. Lord appeals to the Ultimate and pledges to see to it that their last days are comfortable and that we will take care of you. Confused and scared, they decide to trust him in spite of everything they've learned. As soldiers escort members of the Ultimate away, more move in to take Longshadow away as well. Wonder Woman steps in between the soldiers and Longshadow to block their way. The woman exclaims, "You need to come with us," but is quickly confronted by Batman, refusing to let it happen, saying that Shadow is with the Justice League now. The woman calls on the soldiers, who take aim at Longshadow. Superman and Aquaman move in front of him, blocking their line of shot. Batman smiles at the woman, saying, "Mine are bigger than yours." The woman reluctantly gives up, saying Shadow is free to go with them, but when Batman pushes for information about who she and the organization are, she presses back he shouldn't probe the situation, calling him Rich Boy in an undertone, indicating she knows his secret identity. See? Taken aback, Batman withdraws. Wonder Woman welcomes Longshadow to the Justice League to be a true hero for as much time as he has left. Sir, your thoughts on this excellent, excellent episode.
Oh, Christ. This is not an excellent episode.
Dude, this is a great episode. This is great. If you get all the little nuances about who these characters are, it's freaking awesome.
Yeah, I know, and you pointed it out to me. The only one I caught on to, which is very obvious, is Downpour and Shifter, which they're copycats of the Wonder Twins, Zan and Jaina. The other ones, Wind Dragon is Samurai, Juice is Black Vulcan, Long Shadow is Apache Chief. Which is all well and fine and good, but just the general gist of this episode, oh god, it sucks so hard.
But it sets everything else up.
I know, this is the first episode that technically sets up the Cadmus arc. as we all know, I take notes as I watch the episode, so my notes pretty much go from beginning to end. ETA is 2 minutes, right behind you, Superman. See you there, Diana. That is such a nice foreplay or three-play on the big three.
It's great.
Yeah. The Ultimen are here. Oh, not them again. Wonder Twin knockoffs.
It is the Wonder Twins. There's no knockoff about it.
Oh, it's very much a... You know, honestly, if Shifter didn't have tits, I wouldn't be able to tell if they were both male or both female.
They're elves. What do you expect?
Can you make telepathic contact with them? Do they look like fish to you? yet another old chum reference. Grr.
God, I it made me want to just smack him.
Yeah, it did. The Ultimen base is a look-alike Hall of Justice in the sky. What the fuck?
It's awesome.
I know. Bizarro here to save the day! I think this is the, I think this is the first appearance of Bizarro in a while.
It has been a while.
Yeah. And I've already mentioned that this episode, technically, it introduces us to the Cadmus arc. The King of Seas, remember? Whomp! Aquaman bitch slapped him.
That was awesome. Like, even I would be like, you're really doing that against Aquaman? The King of Atlantis, the guy who breathes water. Really?
Yeah. My two final notes are Batman notes, and... Mine are bigger than yours.
not talking about the quantity of their weight, but...
And, who are you people? National security matter, and I wouldn't probe the situation. Rich boy. And every time... Now, alright, I guess it can be argued that everyone under the sun, if they can sort of figure out who Superman is... They could figure out who Batman is as well.
Everyone already knows where the frickin' Batcave is, so...
Well, yeah, true, but...
It's not that hard.
The thing is, with Batman, like Superman really doesn't have too much shock if people know who he is. But Batman, every time in the DCAU, when something... Either somebody finds out his identity or, like in this little piggy, when she's talking about the something so dark, and you just see his eyes just go to a scowly, you know, they just kind of thin out, and he always has this reaction of like, holy fuck.
Well, Cersei was said to be a goddess, so, I mean, it's not too hard. I mean, it's not to be expected that she wouldn't understand or know who he is, but...
Well, yeah, but I mean, Cersei isn't the point for this, obviously. And the point for that was the singing. The point for this, obviously, is the fact that even though we don't know her name yet, Amanda Waller knows who he is.
That's a scary thought.
Yeah, what about you? What did you have?
Oh, my God. Okay, so we got Bizarro. Yay! Gigantus showing back up.
Oh, wait. Hold on. You like Bizarro, which is fine and cool and all that, but yet you like Guy Gardner. What the hell?
Dude, Guy Gardner is life. Okay, so I'm gonna tie this to Guy Gardner though. Okay, so we're going from Guy Gardner, right? We were just bitching about him. Maxwell Lord. Holy fucking crap. I was blown away by the fact that that's who their handler was. Which makes perfect fucking sense considering it's Maxwell Lord.
Yeah.
For those that don't know who Maxwell Lord is, you need to be reading comics. But it goes back to JLI. So the international version of the Justice League. He was their handler. Their PR person, and he has mind control powers. He actually convinced, using his powers, Superman that Batman and Wonder Woman and the rest of the Justice League was Darkseid and his cavalcade.
Oh, wow.
And in response, Wonder Woman on public television broke his neck, creating a huge rift in the Justice League, which did disassemble it, if I'm correct, at one point. But Diana and Clark and Bruce were never the same. But the fact that it's Maxwell fucking Lord, who isn't using his powers yet, is the handler for these characters is just fucking amazing to me. That's what blew my mind about this episode. Mm-hmm. So you've got this one person who's Mr. Badass, like, can manipulate an entire fucking planet with his powers. Who's controlling these five upstart kids that are government property. And the whole, oh my god, they're clones with implanted memories and actors playing their family members. Mm-hmm. That was ripped right out of Seventh Son by J.C. Hutchins, which was also a government group, superhero group that was bred out of one person. Everybody thought that they had their own family life, their own versions of aunts and uncles that they lived with, that they grew up with. And it's eerily similar to Seventh Son. So bravo, bravo there. We see the Cadmus Project. Did they drop Cadmus name-wise?
Yes, they did. That's why this technically...
Is the start of it?
This doesn't really start the actual Cadmus arc of Justice League of the Justice League cartoon series. However, because it honestly really started in Fearful Symmetry,
right.
But we don't really know who it is. Here, they actually drop the name Cadmus. So that's why I said that this technically starts the Cadmus storyline, even though it doesn't... The continuation of the 8-part arc doesn't start until, I believe, Question Authority. But, yeah.
Add on top of that, for those that don't know, more comic references, Cadmus Project originally created Superboy. Con-El, Connor, is a Cadmus Project combination of Lex Luthor and Superman.
Oh.
Yeah, which spins off a whole nother like comic issue.
Why am I reminded of what the Maximals tried to do with Starscream's indestructible spark creating Rampage?
Yep. Yeah, believe me, Cadmus was sorry for that when Superboy found out who his parental lineage is. Which makes you wonder who's the mother and who's the father.
Yeah.
Ugh. It was kind of nice to see Giganta again.
Yeah.
And then, you know, she's fighting off against Long Shadow and goes, oh, poop.
Yeah, I love that line.
Not like, oh, crap. No, oh, poop. Very, like, 50s.
Yeah.
Which kind of goes along with the way that she's drawn. We see the epicness of Waller versus Wayne.
Mm-hmm.
It just starts here, and it just gets better and better. And see, you know, the shippy part of me is going, you know, Bruce and Amanda. Aw, such a cute couple. I mean, we know what happens at the end. So.
Oh, God. I wish you hadn't have said that, because now I'm flashing to Lex Luthor kissing her in Superman Batman. Ugh.
Oh, baby, oh, baby.
Ugh.
Yeah, so when I saw it's not Livewire, is it? Yeah.
No.
Um, What do they call him?
Juice.
Juice. That's such a horrible name for him. But that then again, it makes me think of steroids. But yeah, I thought that was Black Lightning at first.
Yep.
Because I mean, African American electrical blue and yellow garb. It just made sense to me. But yeah, Maxwell Lord's still alive. I wonder if it's going to show. That's going to come back later. Yeah, it was just
wait. You mean wait? Say that again.
Maxwell Lord is still alive at the end of the episode.
Yeah,
so I'm wondering if they're going to play up on that later on in this show.
I don't think he ever comes back.
Oh, that's such a shame because he's such. I mean, he's back alive now in the comics, and he's a complete asshole. But
yeah,
he currently took the remaining members of Justice League International. So Captain Atom, Fire Ice, Booster Gold. I don't think Guy Gardner has shown up, but Power Girl. And they're the only ones that are immune to his power in this setup that he did. And he made the entire world forget who he was. Forget that he's a wanted criminal. Forget who he is, you know. And his powers are, if you're kind of into gore and stuff, it's kind of cool. Because depending on how powerful his ability is or how much influence he's trying to do, he'll bleed out that much.
Yeah.
So... what else? Oh, yeah, and this is the first time I've ever seen a T-Rex swim. And what's up with the DC animated universe where if you're a shapeshifter, you have to have some really bizarre like skin coloration and your animals are always going to be that skin color? You've got Shifter that's white and you've got Beast Boy that's green, and it's very strange.
Well, technically, Teen Titans is not in continuity, but whatever. I don't know. I have no idea.
I will say this is the most badass that I've ever seen the Winter Twins, and I can actually take them as a threat in this.
I can't.
I know there's the whole, like, oh my god, you just tried to try to drown the King of Atlantis, but...
No, it's not even that. What I don't get is... this dinosaur thing that she turns into or whatever the hell it is, and then she's inside him as water. That just seems
twincest?
Wrong. Very incestual, yes. I didn't really notice this at first, but the wiki pointed it out. The League members appearing in this episode were the same four characters that comprised the original Super Friends team: Batman, Superman, Aquaman, and Wonder Woman.
Wow, great.
Yes, there's a lot of Super Friends references in this episode, which I guess is what they were going for. Apparently, Dwayne McDuffie claims that the beast that threw itself against the bars is a nod to the Wonder Dog. It appears to be the same model as the... Sarah Stone dog monsters in the Batman Beyond episode Ace in the Hole. And the extent of Aquaman's involvement with the League is uncertain in Justice League, The Terror Beyond, the subsequent episode of Justice League Unlimited, Wake the Dead. It is at arm's length at best. But in this episode, he is shown sitting at the main conference table with other founding members and referring to the League as quote-unquote us.
Well, you know, he was going to be the new member.
Yeah, but still, I don't know. What I found very interesting was, now, I don't know, I'd have to look at, I'm going to have to look at Bizarro really quick here, but, because I want to see
if... He was speaking normally, too.
Yeah.
That kind of threw me.
Well, he's only in, like, he only has like one or two lines,
but I do anything for my girlfriend. What are you going to do when your girlfriend has her boyfriend back? Oh, yeah. You don't think that.
Let me see. I need to see if
his face wasn't as craggy as I would have expected.
Yeah. I want to see though, if, who voiced him in? Oh, wow. That's weird.
What's that?
In the Superman the Animated Series, they credit Bizarro. Tim Daly did both Superman and Bizarro, but they credit him as Timothy Daly for the Bizarro credit, and Tim Daly as Superman and Clark Kent. What I was going to point out was, in Justice League, George Newbern has taken over the role of both Superman and Bizarro. Huh. Whereas in Superman the Animated Series, it was Tim Daly who did both voices.
So it kind of fits now.
Well, it fits. I'm not saying it doesn't fit. I just noticed when I was looking down here in the credits that it says George Newbern, Superman and Bizarro, but he's uncredited as Bizarro. But it just, I don't know, maybe that's why they didn't do the backwards speak, is because maybe they didn't show him or really go through the paces with him on how to do the backwards speak. I don't know. I'm not really sure. I guess you've kind of convinced me in just reading through some of the wiki stuff that it is a pretty cool episode, but
it's not as bad as some of the other ones.
No, it's not, but it's not as good as some of the really, really good ones.
Honestly, I like it because it sets everything up. The references, like I didn't even know that the rest of the characters, Windragon, Longshadow, Juice, were other Super Friends characters. Yeah. I didn't know that, but the fact that they had the Wonder Twins and made them cool, it just kind of stuck along with the whole edginess of the angsty Aquaman and just the Maxwell Lord part. Like, I honestly would have loved to have seen Wonder Woman go after him, like show like a little bit of angst towards him, just a nod to that. But yeah. Okay, enough of me gushing.
All right, and we are going to go to the outro.
Wait, it seems that magic always has a price.
And your point is?
What would I have to give to make you lift your spell on Diana?
Well, now you're getting interesting. I want something from you that's very precious. Something you've worked very hard to conceal. Something when gone, you can never regain. Something so shattering.
Am I blue? Am I blue? Ain't these tears in my eyes telling you? Am I blue? You'd be too. If each plan that you had done fell through. There was a time I was your only one, but now I'm the sad and lonely one.
Beautiful. And you'll keep your part of the bargain? A deal's a deal. He can stop now.
Not on your life.
I should say.
When I first saw the list for this episode's discussions, This Little Piggy, The Return, Wake the Dead, and Ultimatum, I thought to myself, oh, great, two awesome episodes and two episodes that are just meh.
I liked them. I was very excited for this because I sat down and just watched them all. Well, me and the four dogs. The four dogs were totally, like, enraptured with this. This little piggy, they were trying to go after Diana on the big screen. And this isn't like, oh, nice little screen. My friends have a 82-inch projection.
Nah.
So I'm watching DCU on this entire wall of their entertainment room going, my God, it's beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
It looked even more beautiful if it was on Blu-ray. Ah.
Oh, you and your Blu-ray.
I just have to throw that out there. I want to see the dirt on the animation cells.
No, you don't. All right. So thank you for joining us here on the Secret Origins podcast. There are several ways to get in contact with us, early feedback for the show. Visit the website, geekcastradio.com. Join the forums, protoconempire.com/nexus. Leave the show's feedback in iTunes. I still haven't checked that yet. I got to go check that later. I don't think we have any reviews yet, though. Follow us on Twitter, Secret Origins, and TFG and Mike are mine. What is your Twitter name?
Caminiti Style. CaminitiStyle.
MoUSE. Become a fan on Facebook. Search Geekcast Radio Network. We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Secret Origins podcast and wish you'll join us next time when we will be reviewing. Technically, it's three episodes, but it's more of it's
three stories.
It's two more episodes and one story of Justice League Season 3, which has now become Justice League Unlimited. Those being Darkheart, Wake the Dead, and Once in Future Thing. Part 1, Weird Western Tales, and Part 2, Time Warped. For now, I am TFG on Mike with
Lupus Convoy.
Thank you for listening. Until next time.
And truthfully, it's all still pretty much of a blur to me. Did I miss anything?
Not really. The important thing is you're safe.
Yeah, of course, that's not the only important thing. Thank you.